Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But a week ago, Met fans got capped with some of the worst news they've had in a long time. On Tuesday, it was Edwin Diaz. On Wednesday, it was Pete Alonso. On back-to-back days, two iconic Mets, in their own ways, left via free agency. And I've been racking my brain for a couple of days because one of the most storied moments in Met history negatively is an event called the Midnight Massacre. Now, the Midnight Massacre occurred before I was born, but it was at the trade deadline in 1977 where the New York Mets not only traded Dave Kingman, who was a popular slugger at the time, but they also traded the franchise himself, George Thomas Seaver, June 15th, 1977. And it was nicknamed the Midnight Massacre because the trade deadline was at midnight back then.
Incredible.
So, different world, I understand, but that is a famous event in Met history, the Midnight Massacre. The night that Tom Seaver and Dave Kingman were traded. Now, I would argue, just trying to be fair as a historian, but also as a Met fan, that while trading Tom Seaver is the worst, Dave Kingman was a big slugger, but he was no Pete Alonso.
Right.
That for our generation, this is worse. And it happened in a short period of time. So the question I ask is, what are we calling this? I mean, is it just, it doesn't get any name? Or does it get a name like the Midnight Massacre? And I assume back then, in 1977, it was the newspaper headliners that made it the Midnight Massacre. And then everyone just ran with it. Like, there was no Twitter. There was no social media. There was no internet. We weren't interacting with each other. So I assume it was just one of the reporters saying, it was the Midnight Massacre. Well, in 2025, things are different. We get to name things ourselves. And obviously, there are a lot of events in sports history and world history that simply have a name. So I asked the people a couple of days ago on the Rico Bronya, what would you name it? I have an entire list of names to describe this 24-hour, 48-hour, however you want to describe it, period. But before I give you a few of those, since you're the king of puns and you obviously like to mock the New York Mets, do you have something to describe that moment, that 24-hour sequence in New York Mets history?
I think it's easy. It's simply known as the Polar Bear Plunge.
Polar Bear. What was that? What about Diaz?
Diaz happened first. Pete Alonso was obviously the more beloved Met. That happened second. That was the finishing. You took the Polar Bear Plunge. He was
gone. Doesn't work. I reject it.
What do you mean you reject it? Could you decide that?
You know what?
The public decides.
You know how I could decide it? I was the one who even brought this name idea to the table.
But if we got 15 calls right now and said, that's the winner, Evan, you're going to decline that too?
I'm not going to decline it, but I can promise you the phones aren't going to light up with people saying, it's got to be the Polar Bear Plunge.
Okay.
I make a fair deal. We can pick three or four, and then we could put it out on social media as an official poll. But I just think your idea wasn't that good.
Okay.
The one thing we do have to figure out is, because Diaz signed and Alonso signed 24 hours later, I think some of us have thought it's 48 hours. It's actually 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah.
So some of the ideas have 48 in it, but I'll turn it into 24 to make it accurate. Are you ready for some of them?
Oh, yeah. Are we not going to ask the resident Met fan?
Oh, yeah. Tommy, do you have an idea? Hold on. Before he answers, he's positive Tommy. How could you ask positive Tommy to come up with a negative name? That's not fair to him.
I thought when this happened, he said they have to win positive Tommy back.
Did you say that?
I've never said that.
Would you? It's totally up to you. Would you rather adjourn yourself from this?
I don't know what adjourn means. I could take the positive Tommy cap off and just be idea Tommy for a second. And get one.
How would you just be after hours with Tommy Lugauer?
I would go with, how about 24 hours in Flushing? Kind of the nod to the SNY thing that they did in 2015. All right, I didn't say it was a great idea. I just said it was an idea.
All right. Let's hear from the people. You ready?
Yeah.
Jose says December dissemination. Josh says the not great 48. Paul says a December to dismember. Matt from Comac says December not to remember, a fire sales event. Tim writes the flushing flush. Chris writes 24 hours of pain, the winter beatings. Ryan writes tumultuous 2-day turnover. Ken writes winter of woe, days of doom, or days of debacle. Juan writes tearing to pieces. Kevin and Robert both came up with the midweek massacre.
That's not bad.
I think that's a good one because it plays off of the midnight massacre. Mike writes the flushing of flushing. Tino writes David Stearns' heartburn. John writes F you, David Stearns. Ed writes, this is a good one. Ed writes the loss of power and closure. John writes metention prevention. And Daniel writes the 24 hours of crushing the flushing core. Any of those ring with you?
There was one very early. Like
the midweek massacre is my favorite.
The midweek massacre.
I felt violated. It plays off of the original massacre.
Yeah, I don't hate that. There's got to be. Some of those are a little too worried either. I think it's going to be a little punchy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to think. Hawked Tua.
I don't know what that means.
I just had to get that in there. How about simply the oil change?
You know what I've realized, though? There have been so many moments in sports over the last 30 years that could have a nickname, right? Okay. The David Tyree catch could have a nickname. That whole sequence could have a nickname.
But it has a nickname.
Does it really?
The helmet catch.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, years later, that's all anybody calls it.
You're kind of right. You're kind of right it does. I think we have less cool nicknames like the Immaculate Reception.
Yeah.
Because no one can agree on things. And everyone has a voice. And in 1977, someone created a name, and we all had to go by it.
Well, we had the
God told us what to do.
The Philly special, the Nick Foles touchdown.
That's true. That's one. There's a few. It just feels like it's less common. It's like the NFL used to have one like every other year.
Here's what I would say. If you're going to come up with a name, don't ChatGPT this. Can we go old school brains here?
Do you think everyone who sent these emails ChatGPT'd it?
A couple sounded that way.
Yeah maybe. My favorite so far is the Midweek Massacre because I like how it plays. How about Joe's line? We were violated.
The violation.
I felt violated.
The violation is not bad.
The violation. Simple as that.
Okay. All right. We're cooking with gas there.
All right. Anyone have ideas? You could at Sean Morash or at, what's your Twitter account name, Tommy?
Tommy Lugauer.
Don't you think that's tricky because no one knows how to spell Lugauer?
Lugau. Okay. People know how to spell Morash?
It's much easier.
Okay, so I should change my last name?
Yeah.
What do you
think? I think you should just go at Loogie. Loogy. Can you change it?
No, because people spell Loogie online when they say I've ruined the station. Lugie.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yeah. I get that a lot. Loogie stinks. How do you get his own show?
No, Biggie.
And they spell it Lugie. So maybe Tommy, after hours Tommy? Nah, I can't do that.
Okay. How about Tommy L? Simple as that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Well,
I'm trying to help you, bro.
I don't think
you act like I'm attacking.
No, I know. I just don't know. I don't think we're coming up with any like the perfect solution here. You used to do Morash Radio, Sean?
That is my Instagram name because somebody took my real name on Instagram.
Got it.
Okay. Wow, you got like a copycat?
I went to go create it when I was late to the Instagram game. Yeah.
Ah, he's that popular. Now let's get back to your calls. A lot on the table. The Knicks. We'll get to Joe Burrow coming up in a few minutes. The Mets signing Luke Weaver.
I can't.
The New York Yankees losing Luke Weaver. What?
We got to have a better name for this.
What?
I'm just wrapping my head around it. It's got to be something better.
Well, we don't have an answer yet. You just got to let it breathe. Give it time. We'll figure something out.
All right.
Right now, the working title is the Midweek Massacre.
I still think the Polar Bear Plunge is better, but I digress.
Not really, because it's only describing one. It's describing Pete Alonso. It's Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz.
Okay.
Orange and blues.
I get it.
Because the Orioles were orange. The Dodgers were blue, and we have the blues.
That sounds like a heel tag team back in the WWF in the 80s. Orange and blues.
How about the Chop Shop?
The Chop Shop. I don't get it. They didn't go to the Braves.
What used to exist behind Citi Field, and you chopped up the team?
Yeah. How about FU David Stearns? That was a good one.
I think that was more just of an opinion. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mike in Freehold. What's going on, Mike? Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Evan?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I got a question. You were
You're a biggest Knick hater. Why do you have season tickets?
I love going, watching them lose, selling them occasionally, having access to the NBA Finals if they ever get there. It's a smart business decision.
Right, right. Yeah. And I got one more question.
Yep.
Since the Mets like taking Yankees, I want you to know if the DJ LeMahieu is available if you want to sign him too.
Wouldn't that be so perfect? And
he's
funny.
The first baseman.
When you sign someone to a minor league deal, I always say there's no risk. Like the Mets signed a reliever named Carl Edwards Jr. a couple weeks ago. No one made a peep out of it, right? It's no big deal. Like whatever. But if the Mets ever did that with a guy like DJ LeMahieu, there would be not an outcry, but it would be a lot of mocking going on.
That would be one that would make me laugh. Luke Weaver doesn't make me laugh. DJ LeMahieu, that would be open stitching laugh.
Let's go to Gabe and Wayne. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. Listen, just real quick, I got two names for that debacle in Queens. One is Tua Walk, so not, you know, Hawk Tua, but Tua Walk, or the Mets Jet.
The Mets Jet,
That's all I got. But listen, talking about Luke Weaver, one of the things I wanted to say, when I saw Devin Williams go over to the Mets, one thing to take note of, I remember when Devin Williams was announced to come to the Yankees, he did like a Zoom press conference, and he had made mention that he was surprised that he was going to New York. He thought he was going to L.A.
Yep.
It always sat weird with me. I was like, why mention it? Why talk about Los Angeles? Did anybody ask about Los Angeles specifically? Nobody brought it up. And so it just kind of left a weird taste in my mouth. The season happened the way that it happened. He made the comments on his way out, obviously, like, you know, when he went to the Mets. But then the report comes out from John Heyman that, you know, he doesn't seem like he's a fit for New York. He never liked New York, whatever the case may be, whether that's true or not. I can troll the Mets all day about signing Devin Williams. Got nothing bad to say about them signing Luke Weaver. He was an absolute, like, you know, loved playing in New York. Great attitude. Really just, you know, seemed to be built for that kind of pressure. Built to the lights in New York.
Yeah.
That's a great signing on the Mets part.
To the Devin Williams part, like, I kind of agreed with you most of the year, in which I looked at Devin Williams and I got the feel he was not a New York guy. And I got the feel that he's one of those guys, Ed Whitson, if you would, who just can't handle it. And I felt that. Like I said it on the radio. What changed my mind was the stupidest thing ever. And I'm being perfectly honest with you. And I remember also saying this on the radio. So there's a track record. All the crumbs are left on the things I thought about Devin Williams. Some of them right, some of them wrong, obviously. Even when he started pitching better in September, still got the feeling, didn't want to be here, wasn't made for New York. It was when he was at the Knicks game. And I remember saying it to you guys. I was like, do you guys find it weird that Devin Williams was at opening night?
Yeah.
And I forgot what you guys said, but I remember just being like taken aback, like, wow, he must like this place more than we realized.
I took it as he was coming back to the Yankees with Schlittler and Judge.
Sure, sure. And then the other thing I heard, because there's been a lot of reports about Devin Williams, like he wanted to go to the Cubs. I heard that Devin Williams personally reached out to the Mets because he wanted to stay in New York. So
fascinating.
It is fascinating because I don't think what Gabe said is wrong in the perceptions that we all had about him. You know, that he just wasn't made for this place and yet really liked it and wanted to stay.
Maybe that's just the competitor in him, where he couldn't handle it but wants to prove to the world that he can.
Maybe. Or maybe it just took him time to fall in love with it. Because one thing Devin admitted on MLB Network, he did an interview, is he said, hey, little known thing, not that you should care about it, but after opening day, remember when you guys booed him and he almost blew a save?
Yeah, I was there.
He did not know how to get to his apartment. Did not get there. And was like lost and was like, what do I do? And so he admitted that. He's like, that's how weird this was for me. Because remember, I'm trading in the offseason.
Right.
I'm going to spring training. I wasn't prepared. And he made the point, he's very prepared now. He knows what it's like. So these are little things that obviously as Met fans, we hope matters. And we hope this helps lead him back into being this elite level closer. But these are interesting stories that we have followed over the last few weeks. What does it mean? We'll find out by how he pitches.
So he figured out how to get to the apartment. And now he just wants to know that that's where he's still living.
What?
Like you said,
is that what you took out of this?
Yeah, he didn't want to give it up. He already learned how to get there.
Oh, I got you.
I did get a couple more. I think are really good. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring them up for nicknames.
Go ahead.
The Sting of Queens.
Sting of Queens.
And this one, the Winter Beatings.
The Winter Beatings. How about this one, Frozen Trumpets?
That's good too.
But it's only
one player.
No, it's not because Frozen for polar bear, Trumpets for Edwin.
You know what? Polar bears aren't frozen. They're bears.
They're in Antarctica, dummy, or Alaska, so
no,
it's frozen, and they're
Baltimore.
On frozen ice.
No, but they're related to cold weather. Like, polar bears live in cold weather.
Right.
Hence, the frozen would be representing Pete Alonso.
How about the Stern Setback? or the Stern sell-off. That way we remember it by David Stearns.
The Stern sell-off. Yeah.
But he didn't sell them. The Stern setback is good.
The Stern setback.
We had a caller say the Stern burn.
Stern burn.
Ooh.
Okay.
But it's not Stern, not David Stern. It's David Stearns.
No, I got you. I got you. Let's go to Joe in Milford, Connecticut. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I got to check you guys. It's an oil check.
Oil change.
Is completely different.
Okay.
And this is not new, right? This is not new news. When I was in the military back in the mid '80s, we were on a training exercise in Arkansas, and the guys down there were doing something similar. I was told I couldn't say what they called it because it might be a little too descriptive. But you can ask the guy who took my call; he'll give you the name I gave.
But it involved the thumb, Joe. It involved the thumb.
Yeah, it was the same thing, but they called it something completely different.
Gotcha. He just can't say what it's called.
Hey, you know what? Good for Josh Hart then honoring America.
Clearly. And this is all related to an image of Josh Hart while the Knicks were celebrating their NBA Cup using his thumb to oil check his teammate, Jalen Brunson. And we also had a caller earlier named Abby who said that's not her real name, who said it was called something else.
They call this corn dogging.
Yeah, we may want to drop that.
Why is that?
There's some speculation on the internet that's not what corn dogging is.
Oh, it's something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know that terms are sometimes used for multiple things.
Yeah, that's true.
So I wouldn't get too crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't look it up if you plan on frying chicken cutlets anytime.
Let's go to Anthony on Long Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
Glad to talk to you. So just to piggyback off that last call, I was also in the military. And doing an oil check is like giving someone a high five. It's so common.
There you go. How about that?
But I really wanted to talk about the Mets offseason. As much of a heartbreak it was, you know, the biggest thing that I had to do was, you know, tell my 7-year-old son, you know, who his favorite player was, Pete Alonso, that he no longer had to be playing for the Mets. And that conversation was one of the most uncomfortable things that I've ever had to experience in my life.
What did he say when you initially told him? What did he say? What was his first response?
He thought I was joking, and two, he actually surprisingly took it very well, saying, "Well, I guess I got to find somebody else to root for." So it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but he's got everything. I mean, signatures from Pete Alonso, posters all day, every day.
Anthony, can I give you a recommendation?
Nice, go ahead, Sean, of course.
Nice Aaron Judge jersey for the holidays.
Stop it. That doesn't help.
What did you say? He's got a roof for something else.
Nah. He means another player on the team.
Oh, I thought he was leaving the Mets.
No, stop with that.
Why are you saying stop with that?
Because that's not what he meant. He's just being a troll. I mean, he's talking about his 7-year-old son.
Yeah,
show some compassion.
Kids shouldn't be allowed to make a choice in life.
Nah, man, listen. There are teams in this town, unfortunately, I happen to root for them, where this conversation that our last caller had is very common. I've had this conversation with my sons like 5 times already. First, it was DeGrom. Then it was Durant. Was that first? I can't remember the order anymore. Yeah, it was DeGrom. Then it was Durant. Actually, it was Harden. Then it was DeGrom. Then it was Durant. Then it was even Aaron Rodgers, who came in with such hope and some hype. And now you throw in Alonso and Diaz. So depending on the age of your kids, if you're an Islander fan, a little bit older, John Tavares, that probably was the most difficult one.
Need I remind you, there's an elf sitting on my shelf right now with the name Saquon. You think everybody's over the deal?
I forgot about that one. Saquon, you with Chris Kreider. Like, it depends on the teams you root for, but these conversations suck. They just do. But you know what's good? I'm going to give our last caller the positive to this. My sons have muscle memory now on this, and it's no longer a big deal.
No biggie.
It's almost expected when you lose these icons, these guys that are your favorite players that you have jerseys of, that you have so much hope for. I'll tell you the worst part, when you see them falling in love with players and you already know the result. Like, for example, my oldest son, Jet, starting to become a big fan of Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, nah, let's not do that, son. But why? He's scoring 30 a game, and he's really good. I'm like, you want to do that? Yeah. Or I had to quickly explain to Spence 2 weeks ago, the one Jet jersey you own is Sauce Gardner. Unfortunately, he's a bad guy now. So you get such muscle memory out of it that by the time you're older, And for our last caller, his son, 3-4 years from now, it's almost going to be, like Tommy says, a no biggie moment.
I just picture this world in like a few years down the line where Evan goes to, you know, have the talk with the kids and they see the look on his face and go, oh, no, who got traded now, Dad?
You're right. Let's go to Anthony in Orange, Connecticut. Anthony.
I got a name for the what happened last week. How about Mets Exodus? And then I just wanted to touch on what I called about a couple weeks ago. I think Cohen, he wants to win when the casino is built. It's a long-term plan now. Blow it up, rebuild.
The reason I don't believe that, and even Joe, when he came on the other day, so passionate about there were the Pirates, the this, the that, they're signing people to short-term deals, which means their payroll for this season is still going to be high. Their payroll for next season is going to be high, but they've got a lot of flexibility on it. So aren't you trying to win when you're signing guys to 2-year, $40 million deals? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You may not like it, and that's not the point. I'm not trying to convince anyone to like it, because you have every right to disagree with it. I disagree with it. But to phrase it as they're not trying to win or they're punting, like, then that's a stupid way to spend $40 million when you're going to have to pay tax.
Yeah.
Like, why are you signing Jorge Polanco? So
yeah,
it doesn't...
It's true.
I don't think that rhetoric really fits what's actually happening right now. Scott in Bay Ridge. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, hi. Just want to talk about, we're giving nicknames. Why don't we give Tommy the nickname Tommy Trader for leaving you?
It's a great point. Tommy, you want to answer that for yourself? Why are you not considered a traitor for leaving to host your very own show on WFAN, the number one sports talk station in the world,
I know,
between the hours of 7 and midnight with a name called After Hours? How dare you leave?
Yeah, I'll be a traitor all day long to have that opportunity. I mean, what am I? And I've been told, Evan, through the grapevine,
yes,
this has bothered me a little bit.
Go ahead.
That two of my parents here didn't want me. Craig and Evan both didn't want me on their shows. That's what I've heard through the grapevine.
Whoa!
So, I mean, I wanted my own show, and I'm so happy with this opportunity. But I can't help but think, but both Evan and Craig just, you know, pushed me to the side.
Absolutely.
For shinier new toys.
Absolutely, and I'll explain why. I live by that. I don't know if Craig will admit it. He'll probably make up some weird story about it, but I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know how, like, the ugly duckling ends up becoming pretty, and you got to let that pretty duckling go? I think I got the story.
Wait, no, I think it's a swan, maybe. Or no, the frog kisses the princess.
No. Okay, so you know how birds, mommy birds, have to, like, feed their baby birds?
Yeah, it's like with the beak to beak, right?
Beak to beak, and then they got to teach their baby bird how to walk and how to fly, and then eventually, it's very painful, you got to let your baby bird fly away because they know how to fly. Tommy, you're ready to fly. You no longer should be confounded by me feeding you with my mouth worms. Like, you're over that.
It better be just your mouth and no breastfeeding, all right?
No, I'm talking about birds. Birds don't breastfeed.
You're right. Yeah.
They feed food via their mouth.
Yeah, that's gross, but I hear what you're saying.
Does that make sense?
Sort of.
You're ready to move on.
You've chewed up your sports knowledge. You've thrown it down my throat, and now I'm ready to do the same.
Yeah, I think so.
Why don't they breastfeed?
Because I don't think they have breasts to feed. They're not mammals. They're birds.
We eat chicken breast all the time and turkey breast all the time. Of course they have breasts.
Yeah, but I don't think they have, like, the liquids to feed said bird.
I think all mother animals have the liquids.
I'm not sure. I'm going to go with they don't because they're birds.
Are you sure it's not because they don't have lips and just beaks?
No, I just don't think they...
Or to latch with a beak.
Not every animal breastfeeds, Sean. Some do. Some don't. I don't think they're one of them. They're birds. They got feathers.
What do you mean? Because they have feathers, they can have nipples?
I don't know. Go Google it yourself. The hell do I know? We'll check in on 25 and 25, the countdown of the most memorable moments in New York sports. We'll get back to your phone calls as well. 888-808-1019 and a Joe Burrow update. He has spoken today about the possibility of leaving the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that the second game, and that was a clip from the second game, that's the capper. Because when they come back from 20 down in the third quarter of game one, cool, it's an amazing comeback.
Right.
It's sports. It happens. When they do it again, and think about this. In game one, they were down 75-55 with 5.5 to go in the third quarter. In game two, they were down 73-53 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Basically the same deficit.
Yes.
But in game two, they were also down 84-68 with 8.5 minutes to go in the game. And they came back.
And that was the one that broke the will of Boston fans in general. If you remember the outcry on social media.
No doubt.
That's where you could tell the Celtics were in trouble.
Yeah, because I think after they lost game one, there was that confidence of they'll come back. Even some Knicks fans are like, hey, this is a great win, but we got a long way to go to do it again. And remember this, Mikal Bridges was the man who made huge defensive plays at the end. I think in game one, it was against Jaylen Brown, where he just took the ball away.
And in game two, this one you just heard, Kevin Harlan with the call, was the block on Jason Tatum.
And that's what made Tommy proclaim that those picks were all worth it no matter what happens going forward.
Yeah, and you stand by that, right?
I absolutely stand by that.
Okay.
Of course.
Just making sure.
Why? You think that's going to change?
No, I just want to make that sure that's reminded and that winning a second-round series is always why you make the trade. But let's continue the moment.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. Do you think his opinion is going to change? Because Mikel's having a great year this year.
His real opinion or the opinion he'll tell us on the air?
Well, I don't appreciate that. I gave you my real opinion. I always give my real opinion on the
air.
I
understand
that. Why don't you get at what you're getting at here? Get to the end of the story.
I think that if Mikel Bridges' contract extension comes and goes and, you know, maybe a shot doesn't fall and they never win.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
In an NBA championship, and then, you know, you see a couple of the Knicks picks become big players. I think that you're so stuck in your ways that out of spite, you'll never admit, you know what, in hindsight, wasn't a great trade.
So that's the direction you went in? You could have went the Giannis direction. They could have used their picks to trade for him, but you're saying the players that went to another team in town end up blossoming into, I don't know, the next, you know, Joker? Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Is that the day you're picking today?
I don't know why you're arguing. I'm trying to do the moment.
No, I'm not arguing. You're being condescending. This is the first time the Knicks have had a moment here. It's a positive moment. The first one in the 25 or 25 countdown.
I agree.
And you got to be a snarky about it.
I just asked a question. We converse about the moments.
I thought it was an incredible moment.
I thought it was incredible, too.
And because when they complete the second straight comeback against the team in the Celtics, and I remember being on the radio with you guys saying, and I truly believed it, I know our friends down in Boston agreed with me as well, or up in Boston agreed with me as well, that the Knicks beating the Celtics would actually have been a greater upset than the Giants beating the Patriots. And after they pull off two incredible comebacks in game one and game two, I was floored as well. So, great moment. That's number six. Let's get to number five.
Yeah.
Number five, the Knicks collapse in game one against the Pacers as Tyrese Halliburton channels Reggie Miller.
He'll take it. He'll backpedal a three for the win. And goal! He got it! And Towns fired it. And the game is over. And Indiana has won, coming back and captured game one of the Eastern Conference Finals on the road in the Garden.
No biggie.
Tommy,
no biggie.
Tommy, before I say a word, before Sean says a word, do you have any issue with the committee putting that ahead of the comebacks? They put the negative ahead of the positive.
I don't.
Oh.
I think that moment is more memorable because it was the beginning of the end of the season, and that, you know, Halliburton with the choke sign and the ball bouncing, almost hitting the rafters, that game will go down in more history than beating the Celtics.
I agree with you, and I'm glad you said it. It's not even the later round, though you could argue that. I want to go through what the Knicks blew in game one because it is still very difficult to get through my head. Like what they did against Boston down by 20 late third quarter, it happens. Even down 16 with 8.5 to go in the fourth quarter, it happens. I'm going to give you three different deficits that the Pacers had against the Knicks in game one. And I think we're all still going to struggle to figure out how this happened. The Knicks led 111-94. How much is that? 17 points.
Okay.
With 6.5 minutes to go in the game. I'm not done yet. They led 119-105. That's a 14-point lead with 2:51 to go in the game. That's close to it's mathematically over territory.
Yeah, that's iPad under the arm, head out of the arena.
And then finally, they led by 8 with 41 seconds to go. And obviously that game winner, Kevin Harlan called, he was slightly off. It was a 2, but it tied the game, sent it to overtime, where the Knicks still could have won. I mean, they still could have survived it, and they lost that game. So when you measure the epicness of that collapse, and then, of course, that they lost the series, because much like the Boston series, if you don't win, who cares about the comebacks? And if you don't lose, who cares about the collapse? That really, truly is one of the most epic losses we've seen in a long time. And I almost question the committee how it's only number 5.
Well, I was going to say, so this is number 5, because when you close your eyes and you think about images of the New York sports world in 2025, isn't Halliburton with his hands around his neck? Like, that's when you close your eyes and think about this year in sports. It's got to be number 1.
So you're saying the committee is wrong? We'll see what the next 4 are, but as of right now, the Knicks' collapse against Indiana is number 5.
All seriousness, this is not a troll, not a joke, not anything. If we were allowed to have all the moments of December that we, like, pre-eliminated, knowing now the Knicks have handled last night the right way, and I think we did a good job discussing that, where does last night fall?
I don't know. You mean winning the NBA Cup?
Well, because it is a thing. There's confetti falling. There's all of it. Do you think that's on next year's list?
I don't know if it's on this list, but I can tell you right now, it's not ahead of 2 comebacks against the Celtics, and it's not ahead of the collapse against Indiana.
I'm not suggesting it is. It's just more from the context of what the NBA has tried to create. Knicks did it.
I think we'll see as this year goes on what 26 brings us, whether it's baseball, basketball, hockey, football, to see where the cup falls. I'm not confident it's in the top 26. I'm really not. And we'll see.
We go up to 26 next year.
Well, it's 26 and 26.
So we do the show until 2050. Where do we start this thing?
50 and 50.
Start it in October, and then where's the cutoff?
I mean, I think it just goes, depending on what year it is, I think it just keeps. Okay. Look, it started as 24 and 24. It's 25 and 25. I think it just stays that way. You have a problem with that?
I don't, but I think the long-term plan is going to run into some issues.
Well, you're very confident. You think we're going to have a 35 and 35?
Could guarantee we're going to have the next 2. That's about it.
Oh, is that the length of your contract? Did you sign a new one?
I could report as of 5 minutes ago, I have signed a 2-year contract.
5 minutes ago?
Yeah. Signed it in the last commercial break.
Jeez. Boy, they really were debating if they should bring you back or not.
Yeah. So everybody who hated me, 2 years more, suckers.
I'd love to fire his ass.
Jeez. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on? An hour 50, so I got a couple of things to go over real quick.
Go.
Give me a second.
Go.
Okay. First thing first, time to put an L on. And then at the end, I have 2 good names for the new Cinco and Tommy's new show. Time to put an L on. I talked to you about 4 or 5 days ago, maybe 6 days ago, and I was talking about Brunson being top 5, and we talked about the conversation you had with CP, the franchise, about it. Remember?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, Jason Tatum versus Jalen Brunson.
And then you said, afterwards, you said, and I still don't think he's a top 5, and you named some players.
Yep.
The only thing is, you named 4.
Yeah.
You didn't name 5.
I think he's top 5. I think you're right.
Now you're saying he's a top 5.
Yeah,
so
I think you're
changing
right.
Your mind,
I think I am changing my mind. And I think I'm changing my mind based on a lot of the veteran legends are probably no longer where we should view them anymore. Like, LeBron is not top 5. I love Steph Curry. Is he still top 5? Kevin Durant, is he still top 5? So I think, look, the guys that are clearly there are SGA and Joker and Luka and Giannis when he's healthy. But, yeah, I think Jalen, honestly, we're being fair, Mario, he's in that 5 to 10 range. He's somewhere in there. But he's a wonderful player who I think is capable of leading them to a championship at this point. So
okay,
I don't know if that's outworthy, but okay.
Yeah. Let me add one thing quick on us and then the 2 names. Giannis, if he comes to the Knicks, he can do something that will make him do something that nobody will ever do in the history of the league. You know what it is? This is crazy. I thought of this. I don't even know if he knows it.
What?
When he was with Milwaukee, they hadn't won a championship in 50 years, and he won it.
Oh, wow.
If he comes to the Knicks, they haven't won a championship in 50 years and he could win it. Imagine if he goes to 2 teams and he's the player that helps them win a championship when they hadn't won it in 50 years.
That's cool.
Amazing. Right?
That's pretty cool.
And here's the names. Here's the name. First thing, Cinco de, what are we going to call it, Lunch Show now? Cinco de Lunch Show?
Yeah.
Cinco de Uno. Do it at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I thought about
Cinco
that.
Cinco de Uno.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't know if you thought. And Lugie's new show, Well, it's After Hours with Lugauer. It rhymes.
Oh, there you go. Well, here's the problem.
I think that is the name.
I think it is After Hours with Lugauer. And a wonderful listener to our show, I think he's 12 or 13, named the idea of Cinco de Lunch Show. I was originally going with Cinco de Uno. We even had a Cinco de Uno song. But quite frankly, I like the ability to move it around by calling it Lunch Show.
Some might call it the Cody Bellinger of segments.
Yeah. It's got versatility. Like, we'll try to do it at 12:30, but maybe sometimes I'm hungry and the lunch show will be at 11:30.
In other words, in this new shift, we tell you when to eat lunch.
Yes. By the way, I don't like the term shift. I just wanted to tell you that.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I learned this at a very young age when I was at XM Satellite Radio, and they were treating us like it was a, what's that? A cult. They were like a cult. And one
cult.
Of the, yeah, like a cult. C-U-L-T.
Yes.
Not cult like Philip Rivers.
Right.
Like a cult. And one of the things one of the great radio legends said is never call it a shift, because a shift is like you're working. We're not working. We're making radio. And that's not work. That's art. So don't call it a shift.
I mean, I think it's work, but okay. It may not be as hard a work as other people. It's still a work.
Yeah, it's not digging ditches, man.
Okay, but we still put work into it.
You just signed the contract. Shut up. You don't need to care, like, talk about how hard you were. You just signed a multi-year deal.
Did you sign your deal yet?
I didn't need to sign a deal. I had one. Actually, I did sign a deal, yeah. A while ago, but yes.
A while ago?
That's personal. Why you ask me personal questions?
Because you asked me personally on the air.
You brought it up.
You know you did. You said, Ryan, why are you doing it? Did you sign a contract recently?
Speaking of guys who signed a contract, Joe Burrow. Now, last week, Joe Burrow made comments about, he really just sounded depressed. And opened up the door to retirement or possibly wanting out. He met the media earlier today. I haven't heard this yet, so I think we're going to all respond to it in real time.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe met the media, in which he talked about his state of mind, including direct questions about potentially leaving the Cincinnati Bengals. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Burrow from his press conference earlier today.
In your mind, where you're not the quarterback of the Bengals next year?
I can't see that, no.
Have you ever thought about the possibility of not being the quarterback here during your career? Or
you think about a lot of things.
And when you look at quarterbacks over the course of their time, great ones, Peyton, Brady, you kind of have to understand that you never know what this league will bring. And what did you learn from watching how their careers unfolded?
Yeah, a lot of crazy things happen every year. Micah Parsons got traded right before the season, I think this year. That is something I hadn't seen in a long time in the NFL, so crazy things can happen.
In your mind, where you're not the quarterback.
What do you take out of that?
Other than the typing?
Yeah, the typing was obnoxious, but whatever.
I think that was a clear message to the Bengals. That's what I took out of it. He doesn't envision him personally not being here. But he thinks about a lot of things, and he never saw the Micah Parsons deal coming. I think he's clearly not happy with the Cincinnati Bengals, but also wants to clearly not make himself the enemy with the Bengal fans that I'm sure he adores. I think it's wide open what happens to him this offseason.
Is this a Giannis situation?
Similar. I think very similar.
Because Giannis has publicly said he wants out. He's always kind of danced around it, but wants to win. And Joe kind of sounded like that.
He did. Remember, he said he can't envision that next year. But, you know, you could think a lot of things. Just because he can't envision it next year, he already puts the ball in the court of, if he's gone, I didn't see it coming, but you know what, maybe I am gone. Just because you don't envision something now like Micah Parsons, you never saw it coming. I know that was kind of confusing, but I think my point is, I don't think that means, hey, I'm definitely here next year, but hey, you never know moving forward. I think the door is wide open.
Yeah, my interpretation is he's got discussions with the Bengals front office. And he's not thrilled about where things are. And certainly there's questions about Zach Taylor, the coaching staff, the building of this roster. And I think that Joe Burrow is probably going to want to have those conversations. But I think we are still a ways from him asking for a trade. Because that's what it would be. It would not be the Bengals just merely trading him.
No, because a team like the Bengals doesn't want to trade their franchise quarterback. I am down a little bit on Joe Burrow, though. Not that I wouldn't want him for the Jets or anything, just from this standpoint. Joe Burrow publicly pushed for the Bengals to spend a ton of salary cap capital to sign both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. where everybody in the NFL who watches the NFL thought to themselves, is that really smart for a team that doesn't have a lot of players on defense or the offensive line to spend on two number one wide receivers that much money? And that was all Joe Burrow asked for that.
Right.
Now it hasn't worked out. He's seen how the roster is unfolded around him. That's on him. He's the leader of the team.
No, it's not on him.
Yes, of course it is.
I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why?
All right.
We've had a lot of players, it's mostly in basketball, but we've had a lot of players demand things. Want this guy. I want to play with this guy. I want to do that. And then usually what happens when things don't work is that player wants out. So what it's taught us is that while players are great and they may have preferences, you as the general manager, as the architect of a roster, you have to make the final calls. So if there was a confidence of we don't want to pay multiple wide receivers this amount of money, you do it.
Okay.
And you convince Joe Burrow based on the moves you made on why. You can't just sit back and say, well, Joe wanted it and we did it. No, that's how you get yourself into a mess like the Bucks are or the Nets were years ago. Like, you can't just blindly listen to great players. You have to make the moves that you think are right. So blaming that on Joe Burrow is not fair.
So I agree with you. However, yes, the front office could have told him no or whatever. What I have a problem with is Joe Burrow now being unhappy that the Bengals elected to follow his lead in this direction.
He didn't say that, though. He didn't say he's unhappy because of the roster construction.
Why do you think he's unhappy?
Maybe he hates the coach. I don't know. We don't know.
Okay. I think he's unhappy because he realizes that every game he goes out there, he's getting killed behind the line, and the defense is giving up 41 points a game. Well, the allotment of resources was put to the offensive receivers because you wanted that.
I get you. Nothing jumps out at me that we are imminent to a Joe Burrow breakup. If we get there, I'm interested. I'm excited. We could try to sell him on the Jets. But that conversation was more, we're a ways away from it.
But it's also not off the table.
No, I don't think anything's off the table.
He said nothing there that takes it off the table is a possibility.
No, you're right. Let's go to Howard in Marlboro, New Jersey. What's up, Howard?
How you doing, Evan?
Good.
With the Mets, what happened with the Mets, and my idea kind of includes Brandon Nimmo. What do you think of the core? No more.
Yeah, that fits it well. It's not dark enough, though. Like, the Midnight Massacre. Just, it's dark, and it's evil what happened to the Mets. The core no more is something that some Met fans probably like, because they're like, hey, I'm pissed off. We collapsed down the stretch. Thank God the core is gone.
The core no more. Yeah. How dark do you want this thing to go?
Darker than that.
How about the Man from Milwaukee Massacre?
Too wordy.
It's close, though.
Yeah.
The Man from Milwaukee Massacre.
You're so focused on the word massacre. I think that's the issue because of the Midnight Massacre.
Let's go to Basil in Bay Ridge. Hey, Basil.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
So I'm a big Mets fan. Before I get into Luke Weaver, I just wanted to talk about two things.
Yeah.
I feel like I love the Jorge Polanco signing. He has a better OPS last year than Bellinger, and he's shown that he's clutch. But I feel like it blocked Mauricio from playing a little bit, which I feel like that's something that Mets want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you slot him into first, and Vientos at DH, looking at the rest of the team, we need a left fielder. And the way that this offseason has gone, it better be Tucker or Bellinger. Now, Tucker is way more elite than Bellinger. I don't think people realize how good he is.
And younger.
Some younger.
Throw that in there. I mean, right. He's a couple years younger than Cody as well.
Yeah. Some reports have come out that maybe he's not motivated. So, I don't know. His desire to baseball isn't the same as Bellinger.
Yeah.
I don't know how true those are.
I don't know either, but I admit, Basil, it kind of worries me. Like, I've heard that now in multiple places, and I feel...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me.
Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bad admitting that it worries me because it may not even be true. But I've heard in multiple places, he's not that motivated to play baseball. And that scares me. Like, when Juan Soto signed his 15-year contract, one thing I heard from multiple people about Juan, who were with the Yankees and then with the Mets, is that, say what you want about Soto, the guy works harder than anybody.
Lives and breathes baseball.
Lives and breathes it. Even his eating schedule is based on baseball.
So's Evans.
That's true. Except mine's not good. His is good. It's all about maximize. So when I heard that, I'm like, you know, it makes me feel good because for 15 years, man, especially if you're going to play to a high level into your late 30s, you got to work hard. Like, I think there are so many talented athletes in sports these days that the difference, more so today than 30 years ago, is the effort you put in.
What does Tiki call it? The want-to.
The want-to. I mean, there are so many athletes, like I'll just name one off the top of my head, Ben Simmons, who had all the talent in the world, but the want-to wasn't there. And so if there's any concern about the want-to of Kyle Tucker, a 9-year contract, I got to think long and hard about that. If this was a 3-year deal with opt-outs, let's have a conversation. Then I don't even care about your want-to, because the truth is your want-to is going to be to get paid.
Yes.
But in giving a long, long, long-term contract, that would worry me. That would worry me.
Yeah, especially if Juan Soto's worried about teammates being too into fashion. I don't think he's going to take well.
That's not a real thing. Don't get caught up in that.
Oh, sure.
He's not worried about it. I think what happened, and Mike actually hit it when he talked about the Soto-Lindor relationship the other day, that they're just different. They got off to a bad foot with each other. They're different. And maybe at first they weren't close, but I think that's like this fake story that's being taken everywhere.
No, and plus that wasn't Lindor's biggest issue. He was fighting about politics with other players.
Yes, that's fair. That would be a bigger issue. Him and Brandon Nimmo fighting about Trump.
Unbelievable.
But the Soto stuff, I just don't think the Soto stuff's a big deal. He's different.
Did you see, by the way? Mike,
and Soto also publicly the other day was asked about this and said he gets along fine with Lindor and complimented him. Now, you don't have to believe him, obviously. No, you can say he's full of crap, but that did happen in the last 72 hours.
But it also shows his care about baseball. He's not looking to add drama, which is good.
Sure.
Did you see Mike's reaction to the Knicks winning the cup last night?
I did not see Mike's reaction to the Knicks winning the cup.
So in the immediacy of, Lugie, did you see it? The immediacy.
I did, yes.
Of the Knicks winning the cup, Mike tweeted, he is not a believer in this St. John's team.
Well, that has nothing to do with the Knicks. What are you talking about?
That was his thoughts on the New York basketball world last night, literally 5 minutes after the Knicks game ended.
Can I defend Mike for a second?
By the way.
No, because I see what you're doing, and I do this all the time, too. I'm a Nets fan.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I tweet about the Nets.
Okay.
If I tweet about them on a Sunday after the Giants lose, I'm going to get guys like you saying, oh, he's only caring about the Nets. That's what I'm watching. That's what I care about. If you don't care that I care about that, don't follow me on Twitter.
No, same thing
with Mike. He's a St. John's guy. He was into the game last night. Who'd they play? Some crappy Big East team?
Big East opener versus DePaul.
DePaul. Okay. If Mike is into that game.
And he won by double digits.
Great. He wasn't impressed. That's what he cares about. Like,
first
I care about John Cena's retirement on Saturday. Or Michael
Evan.
Porter Jr.'s points per game. Like, dude,
Evan,
stop judging what we care about.
I am the first one.
You're a pig.
He's a jerk.
I am the first
one. I agree, Mike.
I am the first one to tweet about Alexei Lafreniere scoring a goal during a baseball game.
So why are you lecturing Francesa or me?
You didn't listen to me. I didn't lecture him. I think he should like what you like. I just think that's a message to the NBA that arguably the biggest sports talk personality that has ever existed on the planet had the team in his town play and win the title. And within 5 minutes of the game being over, his focus was on St. John's DePaul. It is not a knock on Mike. It is a knock on the NBA in this tournament.
I do have some ideas on how to improve the NBA Cup.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.